hat up here that wanders. And, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that you folks know. You've been reading them for years, many years. There's something tonight that I wanted to for us to look at. I was reading and the Holy Spirit just impressed me that we need to talk about this a little bit. Christ's second coming. In John 14, 2 and 3, we're told, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We talk about Jesus is coming back all the time. Why is that? What do we know about his return to earth? I've been told, I haven't counted them, but I've been told there are 318 references in the 260 chapters of the New Testament. That's almost 1.5 references per chapter. And it's probably one of the most talked about subjects in the New Testament. Tonight, I'd like us to at least start a study about the second coming of Jesus. I don't know how long it'll last, if it'll be just tonight or if it'll go on next week and the week after. But there's a lot of material for us to look at, and so we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures tonight. We're not going to be discussing meeting him in death. On the contrary, we're going to meet him on this earth, if we live long enough, or at least in the air. The reason that I mention dying is because we are all going to die if the Lord tarries in his return. And his return involves certain things that are not included in the process of his children's dying. Let's look at what we're told by Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So his coming will be with a shout. And that's not the way we die. It's not with a shout. So when the Bible speaks about his second coming, it's not talking about dying. We're supposed to be watching for him. We're supposed to be watching for him. Titus 2:13 tells us this: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're warned by the Apostle John that we live in the presence of Jesus in anticipation of his coming. 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Folks, the Bible just talks over and over about the fact that he is coming. He is coming, he is coming, he is coming. And as we look at the Bible, as we read the Bible in our daily Bible reading, we should be reading these verses. John tells us, you know, that we need to live in his presence. when John says, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I'd like to be in church when he comes. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? To be in church, worshiping him. We sorrow when one of our members leaves this life and go home to be with the Lord. And it's difficult for us to let them go. But we're given several methods of comfort. In many of the scriptures that talk about his second coming, we are told that they are to be a comfort to us. In First Thessalonians 4:18, it tells us, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And I find it interesting that the last prayer in the Bible is for his coming. Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. A prayer for his second coming. As we talk about Jesus' coming, we're told that we'll be mocked for believing that he's coming. In 2 Peter 3:3-4, knowing this, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What can we surmise from this? That the scripture tells us that this will occur in the last days. So we must be in the last days now. Throughout his ministry, Jesus told his disciples that he would come again to prepare them for passing the idea along to those that would come after them. That would be us. Are we his servants? We are. Then we should take heed of this instruction from Jesus' earthly ministry. I know it was 2,000 years ago, but it was to us. Just as real as if we had been there. And in Matthew 24:44-46, it tells us, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Will we be serving Jesus, or will we be serving ourselves when he comes back? Would it be awful to be doing laundry? I can think of all kinds of things I don't want to be doing when he comes back. It'd be all right to be trimming hedges, Johnny, because we're doing that for him. His coming is going to be in several stages. If we believe what the Word of God tells us, and I know that you know this, but let's review what the Scripture tells us about his second coming. It's in two stages. Stage one is that we meet him in the air. That's the first part of his second coming. That's where we hear the shout, the trumpet, and we go through the air to meet him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, we've already looked at this passage, but we'll look at it again, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How will you respond when you hear a shout and there's nobody around you shouting? And you hear the voice of the archangel. I don't know what it'll sound like, folks, but we will hear the voice of the archangel. And then we will also hear the trump of God. Three different indications that the Lord is coming back for his church. And we are the ones who are going to be involved. Stage two will include his coming to the earth. And there are several passages that relate to this. One is 1 Thessalonians, again, chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. And that verse, those verses tell us, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So after the first phase of the coming, where we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, we will be with Jesus Christ. We'll go through the Bema Seat judgment, each one of us will. We will see our life displayed before us, and we will understand why we may not get certain rewards. And some of us will get rewards we never expected. That's part of the second coming. Then we'll be with Christ, and during that time that we are with him in heaven, he will prepare us to come back to this earth and rule as one of his servants. It's going to take some preparation. We are not qualified at this point to rule this world. Look at what happens when man tries to rule. The awful mess. So Jesus is going to prepare us. I don't know what's going to happen or how he's going to do it, but he is going to prepare us so that when we come back with him, and you can read about it in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, when we come back with him and he's coming back to destroy all wickedness and all evil, we will be prepared to reign with him, to be his servants, but to reign with him over all of the world. As further evidence that Jesus will bring the dead with him, we have some verses in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, that tells us about this. And it tells us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not talking about here on earth, but the things that are going to be in heaven, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's not sitting on this earth, he's sitting in heaven. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's a verse that means what it says. Difficult for us to understand because our hearts are attached to this planet we live on, to a lot of the people who live on this planet. But our hearts are to be attached to Christ. So set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So that's how we know we're going to be seated on those white horses that are following him. Okay? As I said, the second coming will be in stages. The initial stage will be the fulfilling of what believers have been promised. Acts 1, 10 and 11, they were told about it on the day of Pentecost. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven." So, folks, we're going to see Jesus coming back in the clouds. No matter where we are, we're going to see him coming back in the clouds. Book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So folks, one of the projects that we are supposed to be doing, one of the things we're supposed to be doing, is looking for Jesus to come back in the clouds. And lastly, we're told in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Can you just imagine what it's going to be like when, based on this verse, when Jesus comes back in the clouds for his church, you and I will be going to him. The rest of the world is going to see him coming back in the clouds. I don't know whether they'll see us going to him, but they will know they are not part of this. And it says that they which pierced him, all the kindreds shall wail because of him. It is going to be a sad, sad day in this world when Jesus comes back for his church. It will not be a day of rejoicing. Oh, you and I may be happy to meet him in the air, but the rest of the world will not be happy. And I don't know how they're going to explain it. I don't care how they're going to explain it. I'm going to be with him. So will you. So will you. During the life of Jesus, he told his disciples, Matthew 24, 29 through 31, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Those who have gone on before, they're with Jesus now. They're going to be gathered up. They're going to be coming back with him. You and I are going to be coming back with him. And this will be in preparation for his return to the earth. No one knows exactly when this event will occur, but we are given instructions as to what to do in the meantime. Revelation 16:15 tells us, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now, folks, I don't know For sure. We have these various, well, we had a film we showed a little while ago, Left Behind. And it showed the people suddenly vanished and their clothes were left behind. I don't know whether that will take place, if it will happen that way, or if we will be given new bodies or new clothes, or how it's going to happen. It won't matter to us at that point. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 6, we are told, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Does that mean that we are not to sleep? You can only go so long without sleep. And it's all right, we sleep differently. We sleep with one ear open, waiting for that call, waiting for that shout, waiting for that trumpet. Our day has become as it was in the days of the flood. Our society has become so corrupt that we are now in the minority as Christians. It is most difficult to be dogmatic about the coming of the Lord, but Jesus warned his followers, and through them, he warned us. He taught his disciples about his second coming. They wrote passages of the Bible that we read and are looking at right now tonight. Matthew 24, 37 through 39 tells us, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." This world had never seen rain. Noah warned them for 100 years while he was building the ark, and they laughed, and they made fun of him. What did they think when those drops of water began to fall out of the sky? Can you imagine? And what could they do at that point? Nothing. Nothing. And folks, we don't want any of our loved ones to be that way. We want to make sure that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so we need to tell them, or tell them again, if we haven't told them lately, about the time that's coming. Because just like when we are gone and taken up and they see us ascending up into heaven, they're going to know this is what we've been telling them about, but it will be too late for them. In Luke 21, verses 34 through 36, he says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye, therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. People might ask, why is Jesus coming again? There are many reasons, but one reason is more obvious than all the others. We'll look at the explanation from Jesus' own mouth, and we find it in John 17, 19 through 24. John 17, 19 through 24. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, and that's us people, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus was pleading for us. So, the primary reason for the second coming of Christ to the earth is to collect all of his children. That's all of us. So that we can see his glory. None of us have seen him in person or face to face. That is one of the reasons he's coming back, so that we can see his glory. And I've given you a lot of scripture tonight because the word of God has a lot of scripture in it about these circumstances. There's still much about Christ's second coming. And I know we're quite early tonight, but I'm going to stop off here to answer questions. Do any of you have questions about the second coming of Christ or the things involving the second coming? So we're all just waiting to hear that shout. The voice of the archangel. Wonder what he's going to say. And the trump of God. I'm so glad that all of us, and I believe all of us here tonight, that all of us will be going with him to join him in the clouds, and so be ever with him. Some of us have had loved ones go on ahead of us. We'll be seeing them, but we will not be remembering our relationships with him. We will not know they were our wife, our mother, our father. We will just know that they are as we are, child of Jesus Christ. That's how we will recognize them, because otherwise there would be sorrow, there would be sadness. And when we looked around and didn't see brother so-and-so or uncle such and such. And so when Christ comes back, we will forget all of this. And we will just go to meet him, and he will be the rest of our existence in eternity. You rushed in time to just get here as we were finishing. No questions, no comments. Let's close with, yes.
When you come on, will you be playing your trumpet?
I don't know what I'll be doing. I'll be serving the Lord in whatever capacity He wants. I am starting to practice again. And there will be a time when I will play the trumpet. But I'm so looking forward to our church family all being together and all of the millions of others that we have known jointly across the world. And missionaries, people that the missionaries have led to the Lord, it's gonna be a wonderful thing, a wonderful time. There'll be no pain, there'll be no tears. Those two things are just wonderful to be by themselves. Anything else? Father, we don't quite understand what to expect. But we know, we have your word that tells us that certain things are going to take place. So Father, we believe those things, and we're going to be looking forward to them. For this time, we're looking forward to a shout, to the voice of the archangel, to the trump of God. And Father, we will respond by coming to you for all of eternity. Many of our loved ones are already with you. And Father, it will be so good to see them again. And Father, just we look forward to all the love that we will experience with you. Thank you, Father, for making it possible for us to be with you for eternity by the death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to love him. Help us to serve him here on this earth, to do the things that you would have us to do. And Father, we will love you for all the things you're doing for us. We'll love you in Jesus' name. Amen.